'Tis the season for a new holiday classic, and this week's episode is brought to you by The Man Who Invented Christmas, starring Dan Stevens as Charles Dickens and Christopher Plummer as Scrooge. Deadline's own Pete Hammond calls it a total delight, a truly wonderful, amusing, clever, and irresistible holiday charmer. The Man Who Invented Christmas is playing in theaters everywhere. Get your tickets now. Welcome to the Bart Fleming Podcast. I'm Peter Bart.
Mike Fleming here.
Mike, you know, the death of Charles Manson this week reminded me how the Manson murders 50 years ago seemed to haunt the town for months and even years. I was around at the time, and as you know, I knew Sharon Tate, I knew Roman Polanski, and I vividly remember the atmosphere of shock and fear that pervaded the Hollywood scene. I don't want to stretch the comparison, but in a way, the sexual harassment scandals are haunting the town today in sort of the same way. It's like a somber veil hovering over conversations and social interactions. And let's face it, there are a lot of men in this town who are not sleeping well these days. What's your feeling?
Well, I mean, you know, I was talking to a deal maker out there who I speak to every now and then, and we were just ruminating on the Louis C.K. thing, and the guy, as the guy said, he goes, you know what, I get up in the morning, I read what's out there, and I say to myself, who are these people? I mean, you know, the stories continue to be kind of like hard to believe. It almost seems like satire that you basically would have Louis C.K. denying these things, and then basically the New York Times does a piece about how he does what should be a solitary activity as a way of just terrorizing women, and then he says, "Yep, all true." And then all of the people who helped him build his career jump off the ship, and then basically the ship goes down and this guy is left with nothing. I have never seen anything like this. I believe it is haunting every single conversation. And I have to say the Thanksgiving holiday was probably something that a lot of people felt really good about disengaging from, because, you know, who wants to be in the swamp every minute of every day? I mean, these stories are just awful.
Well, it also raises a question for you and me and many others. How do you really relate to people who have been accused of these things? Like, do you refuse any contacts with, say, a guy who has apologized for something that he did 20 years ago? Is this somebody who we just pretend doesn't exist now? And especially those who refute the charges or have their attorneys do so. I mean, I believe clearly, and then some of these high-profile cases, the offenders should be banished. But I have different feelings about people who have been not only in film but in many other areas who have denied these things, or who said, you know, that happened 30 years ago. I've learned a lot since then. I'm not prepared to say, well, these are people I refuse to talk to.
Well, I mean, the one with Al Franken, who was a comedian, a comedy writer and a performer on Saturday Night Live during, you know, those a hazy period in that show's time. And now he's a productive senator. You know, but the idea of seeing a photograph of him on the front page of the New York Post leeringly groping a sleeping woman on a USO tour. I mean, it's like you can't make this stuff up. It's, you know, I don't know how to feel about this guy. It seems like a dumb joke that's, you know, that went completely awry. I guess the question about all this stuff is if there are going to be meaningful reforms, how far does this thing go, and are there gradations for bad behavior versus flat out sexual assault. I mean, you know, we just saw this this situation play out where Jeffrey Tambor has exited, you know, the series Transparent, and he was clearly the, you know, he won all these awards, and you know, and he basically says that, you know, he's a hard guy to get along with, but that he's not a predator. I mean, you know, some of this stuff, I'm not sure how much it's going to help meaningful reform, because I have been told by people in a position of hiring that they right now feel reluctant to hire women. And if that's true, and if that becomes a byproduct of this, it sort of undermines the good things that could come out of something like this.
Well, I think it is true. I think there's a great deal of tension between the sexes in town, which annoys the hell out of me. I remember in the 70s, sex, rock and roll, sex, drugs, and rock and roll triggered a sort of a sexualization of society, and certainly of Hollywood. And 5 decades later, we're witnessing a sort of a perverse resexualization, where everybody is talking about sexual exploitation and not sexual discovery. And that's perverse and disturbing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see where this goes. And I see people out there who are well-meaning, who are struggling. I mean, we saw Lena Dunham, who has been a productive voice for change and for women. And she had a very bold run on the show Girls. And then she was caught basically in this situation where she seemed to be refuting these sexual assault charges made against, you know, a writer on her show. And then she had to backtrack because it seemed to turn her into a hypocrite. And, you know, now Sarah Silverman has been trying to deal with interpreting who Louis C.K. is when she found out this appalling thing, which I thought was kind of an open secret on the comedy circuit. You know, and so they're all basically struggling with trying to find a handle for how these people are regarded in the future, and whether they can have careers, and whether you can speak up for somebody who maybe did some scurrilous things. I mean, the whole thing is just it's just so raw and unfolding in real time. In a way, from a news gatherer standpoint, it's pretty fascinating to cover it in real time. I mean, there's a new thing it feels like 3 times a day, but it is. I mean, it certainly is a mess out there.
Yeah, they're ugly stories to write, though. They really are. And I know you feel that as well as I do. And, you know, on a practical level, though, a lot of people during the holiday season who are out there looking for jobs because the companies they worked for have been disrupted and torn apart. And also the people they've worked for and were loyal to, their careers are basically destroyed. So this is a weird time of year. And I've talked to several people who, frankly, are saying, we need a job. I didn't plan to spend the holiday season job hunting and interviewing. So, you know, on a specific practical level, this business is in trouble.
Well, the holidays is the worst time to be looking for a job. And I can remember many years writing stories. I mean, one time it involved the Weinstein Company, or Harvey Weinstein, you know, letting someone go right before the Christmas holiday. And that was always an interesting story to write because it was, you know, sort of like the Ebenezer Scrooge thing. But here, you know, there are so many movies that are, you know, the series that have imploded because of this scandal. And I do think that down the line, we'll see that a lot of jobs and job opportunities have been lost because of the exposure of bad behavior. And, you know, I mean, it's just it is going to take its toll. And also, there are movies that will come out and series that will come out. And if somebody is dragged into the scandal, who knows what happens to some of these properties and some of these things. I mean, you know, every movie is a bit of a time bomb right now. If one of your cast members has a secret that gets exposed.
This week's episode is also brought to you by Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy. Critics rave, Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy deliver two of the year's best performances. Garfield is brilliant, and Foy is a true force of nature. Discover more at BleecherStreetGuilds.com. All this is evident on the awards circuit in town, too, because this is a time of year where not only are movies screened for voters, for the Academy voters, for Guild voters, and so forth, but also this is the time where the stars and the star directors get out there and pitch their wares, basically, because every screening, as you know, Mike, and you've been there, every screening basically is accompanied now by a spokesperson who's saying, this is what the picture intended to be, this is what it's about. So it's interesting to me that some of the harassment conversation does pervade these talks, but also it's interesting who is not there. I mean, the Matt Damon, George Clooney, Denzel, Jennifer Lawrence, I mean, a number of big stars who have done pictures that were hopefully going to be awards candidates, and those pictures are being screened now, but they're not getting favorable reviews or reactions, either the Rotten Tomatoes or the Metacritic situations. So what we don't have this year is people like Tom Hanks, the amazing job he did to support Sully, Octavia Spencer, who worked so hard for Hidden Figures. Instead of the big stars out there pitching their wares, you know, you run into Kumail Nanjiani of The Big Sick or Tim Chalamet on Call Me By Your Name or Greta Gerwig on Lady Bird. Somewhat lesser known people are out there working the circuit and doing very effectively too. Have you run into this?
Well, I mean, but if you look in recent years, Spotlight was an independent film. Last year, Moonlight was an independent film, and as was La La Land. I mean, it's a wide open race right now. And so basically what you're saying is the studio constructed films out there have failed to register, but they just screened for the first time Steven Spielberg's movie on the Washington Post's, handling of the Pentagon Papers. It's called The Post. That just happened, and from what I understand, the reactions were very strong. That movie does star Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, so I don't know that we definitively know at this point. I mean, a lot of people like Guillermo del Toro's film, The Shape of Water. I mean, it is a time for movies to be slowly discovered over time, and some of the people that you mentioned could still factor into best performance, nominations. I think it's probably a little early to lament this award season. I mean, but certainly everybody's out there trying to make sure that the voters see all the movies. And I consider this to be kind of a fun period. And sometimes when there is no prohibitive favorite, it forces people to discover films that maybe they just wouldn't pay that much attention to, like Call Me By Your Name.
Well, and on that subject, it's interesting to see Armie Hammer out there talking about the film, as Armie's career has been sort of a fascinating example of the ups and downs of an acting career. You remember how terrific he was playing both Winklevoss twins in Social Network. And everyone said he's going to be the star of the moment. And then after Social Network, his agents or whoever put him into The Lone Ranger and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And hating those stereotypes, he then did some indie pictures, which didn't work for him either. So he's a good guy and a good actor who has faced the whiplash of stardom and semi-stardom. It's a tough way to make a living.
I don't think I feel sorry for that guy in particular, who comes from probably one of the richest families in the world. But he was also pretty good in Nocturnal Animals, and that was a movie that I thought had several exceptional performances, but the subject matter was dark. This was the one that Tom Ford directed. But I think Armie is just finding his way And maybe even realizing that it's better to go for quality and you know, and I mean, an example of that, and I know they're struggling to be seen, but, you know, Robert Pattinson came off the Twilight movies, I'm sure, you know, with more money than he really probably needed. And now he's in a movie called Good Time, and he's getting fantastic reviews for that film. And you know, and I'm sure probably if you asked him, he's probably much happier with that identity than with something that would go along with the Lone Ranger, let's say, if that had been a huge hit and not a colossal failure. So you know, it's the ebb and flow of these leading men careers. You're better off just going for quality and great performances, and then, you know, maybe you get a franchise and you can, you know, play off that. That's what Michael Keaton did very successfully when he was Batman. You know, but you want to remind these people, you want to remind the world every now and then that you can be a great actor. Denzel Washington does that very well.
The one job I never wanted to have in this town was to be a manager or agent and to sit with a budding star and try to plot his career and pretend that if you put him into pictures with top directors, that's an automatic success. Or if you read a script and say, I love this script, this is going to work for you big time. I mean, there's so many things that, as you well know, that go into the success or failure of a film, that to pilot an actor's career, to me, would be the ultimate. That's a responsibility I don't want.
Yeah, but you know what? But one thing on that, though, some of the, you know, like I remember I had a really strong relationship with Patricia McQueenie, who was Harrison Ford's manager. She got hold of him when he was a carpenter, and you know, and they worked very carefully and scrupulously about figuring out what movies he should do, and it was, and their collaboration led to one of the great Hollywood careers of our era. And I would actually look at Tracy Jacobs at UTA, who agented Johnny Depp for so many years and built just one of the most, I mean, you know, the idea that Johnny could have done the quirky projects that he did and have them pay off as often as they did, from Ed Wood to Edward Scissorhands and the Pirates of the Caribbean. And now, of course, he left her, which is often what happens out there. But, you know, but there, I would imagine, though, that there is a lot of artistry and hard work that goes into trying to factor all the variables and making choices, helping an actor make choices. And it's still got to be pretty rewarding when it all works out. You would like to see a little more loyalty among, you know, among the actors, but they're, you know, but I don't know. I would beg to differ. I think it must be harder. It would be harder to build a Johnny Depp career today, but, you know, but that, if you look at the body of work over a long period of time, to me, that's one of the marvelous careers that was definitely helped by an agent with some vision.
Well, we'll close on that note, because if you are looking for loyalty among actors, to me, that is the ultimate pursuit of idealism. But it's good talking to you, Mike.
You too.